Let's continue on. We just got into, just started into the tabernacle and how it's put together and all of this. We're going to cover all this stuff. But the tabernacle, or they've called it the tent of meeting, and the priest entered into the tabernacle through the curtains at the entrance. You have curtains or the door coming into the courtyard, and then you have this curtain coming into the tabernacle, and they had to go through those curtains. Then the tabernacle was divided into two sections, the holy place and the most holy, or the holy of holies, depends on what you want to call it. It's named different things at different points. Only the high priest was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies, and that one time every year. But the other priests, they were working in the holy place, and that's what we'll be talking about. But we want to get to the construction first here. The tabernacle is made of boards. It's made of boards. In Exodus 26 and verse number 15, it says, "And thou shalt make boards for the tabernacle of shittim wood, standing up. 10 cubits shall be the length of a board, and a cubit and a half shall be the breadth of one board." And he goes on through that description. But first of all, notice that they're made of shittim wood. This construction, as we go on, it talks about Christ's humanity. Wood is a type of humanity here. Christ is called the branch. That's a piece of wood. In Isaiah 11, 1, in Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 8, Isaiah 53, 8, several places where he's referred to as the branch. Now, he's the root out of dry ground, being cut off, the Bible says, out of the land of the living. The shittim wood would grow in a desert place. Didn't need much water. It was a dry desert place. It was twisted. It was knotty. Not bad. It was just had knots in it, okay? Before it could be shaped into boards and be used in the meeting place between man and God, it had to be cut down. That's exactly what happened to Jesus Christ. Christ, before he could become our Redeemer and High Priest, he had to be cut down. He died on the cross. It's a type of our sinfulness. Our sinfulness, that humanity. The wood would not decay, and thus it points to the incorruptible Christ born in this physical life and his death and burial. You see this in both Hebrews chapter 7 and Psalm chapter 16. It talks about that. Since Christ is the example of the saved, and we are to be Christ-like, the boards of shittim are a picture of the Redeemer, the redeemed sinner. When the Lord found us and saved us, we were as that shittim wood. We was twisted, we had knots, we were gnarled, we were growing, but in a desert. And through this typology, as he becomes man for us, it really is an interesting development. It was shaped into something usable. When these are cut down, these trees, we see them all over Africa. And the same thing down there in the Sinai and all those different places. They're very twisted and everything. And it's difficult to make boards and get boards out of them and to cut them and get them to the right shape and everything. It takes a lot of work. We are shaped into something that's usable. When you look at your life and boy, you go back and what a twisted mess. And yet what he's doing, he is conforming us to the image of Christ. He is getting those knots out of there. He's reshaping that board so that it can be used for the service of God. The sinners cut off from the former old life of the world and now placed into the service of God, where he says that where they were to stand in service, that specifically says that these boards were designed to stand up as they were in service for the Lord. Every Christian is expected to stand. Stand in his place of service before the Lord. It's interesting. We talk about this, but we just pass it off. Do you realize if just the Christians in America would vote, we wouldn't have to worry about Kamala. I'm not supposed to say that from the pulpit, but just vote for the Trump of your choice. Listen, this is communist stuff. I've lived in third world countries, and that's exactly what we're heading for. This whole thing, Christians, most Christians don't vote. If we would vote, it's settled. It's our fault if this country just blows apart because Christians aren't standing up. You've got to stand up and make your voice heard. These boards were made, he specifically says, to stand up. How he puts these things together and how they're interlocked and everything is very intriguing. And that's how we're supposed to be in the Christian life. Paul tells Christians, having done all, he said, we are to stand. But if we haven't done all, we've missed the boat. We have to do what we can do. This is the positive or the posture of victory. We are to stand against Satan in every way we can. And we're facing Satan on every turn, and we can stand and do something and get something accomplished. You say, well, my vote won't count. Your vote may not count. But when you add yours and mine and his and hers and you start counting them up, it matters. And they all count. And we could have righteousness in this nation if the Christians would just stand up and do what's right. And whether it's in the church, whether it's in politics, whatever. Now, let's look at the boards. He said there's 48 boards. 48 boards in this entire building. There's 10 cubits. By 1.5 cubits, that's 15 feet by 27. 15 feet by 27 inches, I'm sorry. So I'm looking at this and something's wrong here. I got the width, the W and the L in the wrong places. It's 27 inches wide by 15 feet tall here. It's overlaid with gold. Every one of these boards is overlaid with gold. You do not see any wood in the tabernacle. The wood is there, but it is covered by Christ. It's covered by God himself. That's what he sees when he sees us. Once we've received Christ as our Savior, we have that robe of righteousness. And he sees Christ. When that's overlaid by gold, you don't see the humanity. You see that deity. You see God. One standard for all 48 boards are all the same. Don't make any difference. Some of us are tall. Some of us are short. Some of us are skinny. Some of us are otherwise. But in God's eyes, we're all the same. That's not what makes the difference. All boards had to measure up to the divine standard of God in order to be used in the tabernacle. Everybody is the same. God has the same standard for everybody. When he says lie not, it's the same standard whether you're the president or whether you're digging ditches. It's the same standard. God has put one standard for everyone that has accepted Christ and is in his church. Just like every board had to measure up, so every Christian must measure up to the standard of the pattern of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find that in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. We're never told to measure ourselves by somebody else. Always, always by Jesus Christ. And how do we measure up when we measure ourselves by Jesus Christ? Boy, that gets humbling very much. First of all, here, the Ten Commandments. The boards were to be 10 cubits high. The number 10 is a special number. The number 10 speaks to us of trial and testing and law and order, responsibility, all of this. And there's scads of verses you could go to where the number 10 is used in specific instances and purpose. For example, the Ten Commandments, or the 10 talents in that of testing, or the 10 virgins. Over and over, he uses that number to speak of special things here. The Lord's church is going to be made up of those that are tried, those that are tested, those that are submitted to the divine law of God, and those that have accepted their responsibility before God. The church is important, just as the tabernacle was important. Now, the boards were built that each board had two tenons at the bottom. These little things down there, we would call them a socket or something, but they were called tenons. They were made of silver. Silver is a type of redemption, remember. And that is the foundation of you and I as believers is the redemption that we have in Jesus Christ. There's no other way. And that's what holds up the entire tabernacle, that righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, the two foundational truths here that the two tenons speak of, and it's essential for fellowship among believers or for our standing before God. First of all, Christ's death on the cross, that foundational truth, this whole tabernacle, everything about it, from the beginning, from the curtains to the doors, to everything, has to do with Christ's death. But also it has to do with Christ's resurrection, because if he did not raise, there is no redemption. There is no hope. All of this was pointing to that Redeemer. Yes, he would die, but he would also live so that he could make that offering for us. Both of those truths are essential for redemption. Both of those boards, or all the boards, were set on two tenons, set upon and in sockets of silver. So the Christian stands before God on the basis of Christ's death and resurrection, which are made possible for our redemption. The silver sockets speak of redemption through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Never forget that. Then we have the boards. Every board had a place. Brother Greg and I were talking yesterday about every one of us have a purpose. Everybody has their place. God has a specific place for you. And every one of these boards had a place. And together, they make up the tabernacle. Together, we make up the church. All 48 boards made up the tabernacle, just as every Christian has a place of service, and all together in their place make up the local church. If one of those boards is missing, what happens to the tabernacle? You got serious problems. You are missed when you are not here. Even Brother Dennis was missed. I did. I missed him. How many of you missed him yesterday at our Wiser Society thing? I mean, you know, it's just not the same when you're not there. It don't work. That's why you should participate in everything that you physically can. I know there's physical problems, and sometimes you can, or work. I understand that. But everything you can, things of God, participate, because you are a board in that church. And if that board is missing, God, it's problems. I know there's folks that listen, live stream, and because of health and different things like that. But if you can be here and you're just being lazy and sitting home, there's a problem. You don't think your board's important. It is important. It encourages me every time I see you here. You ever preach to a crowd of none? I have. It's not fun. You are missed. You are part of the boards, the body of this church. Now, the boards were overlaid with gold. Just as the wood spoke of Christ's humanity, the gold speaks of his divinity. Christ was the God-man, and as such is the only mediator between God and man. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, we call this the hypostatic union. 100% God, 100% man. Not 100% God and Mary. She's not in the boards. She's nowhere in the tabernacle. She's not in the worship system. Yet that's the very foundation of the entire Catholic Church. Go back. This is a picture. This is a type of the worship system that God was going to have in the New Testament. It's a picture of Christ and what he's done. That we are overlaid with gold, not with more flesh. And Mary was flesh. Now, the third thing here. The believers standing, the boards overlaid with gold, all speak also of the redeemed believers standing in Christ. We're human, but we have eternal life. That's what's different about a lost man and a saved man. In a lost man, all you have is a human being. And you're going to die. But when we get saved, when we put our faith in Christ, we have a human being that has eternal life. That picture of Jesus Christ in his hypostatic union. 100% man, that's what I am. But now, because of Christ, I'm not God, but I have 100% eternal life. I will live forever. Do you see the contrast between just a physical man and a saved man? It's laid out here so beautifully. Now, let's go on to the bars. Three sides of the tabernacle was held together by five bars. Okay? Five is the number of what? Grace. These bars were made of shittim wood. They were overlaid with gold. Again, you see the humanity overlaid with deity. The bars and the rings were made of gold. Everything, they were held in place by rings of gold. Notice there's not humanity holding them in place. Not humanity covered with deity. God himself is the one that holds us in place. We are kept by the power of God. Now, the bars and the rings acted as braces to tie the boards together. Now, there's five boards. Each one of the boards, is 45 feet long. Now, I want to show you this. This is important. Look in verse number 27, Exodus chapter 26 and verse number 27. And five bars for the boards of the other side of the tabernacle, and five bars for the boards of the side of the tabernacle for the two sides westward. All right? You've got five boards. How many? Not 10? You've got five boards, 45 foot long, or it seems to be here. They were braces that would tie the boards together. The center bar, interesting, look in verse 28. And the middle bar in the midst of the board shall reach from end to end. He is specifically pulling out this bar and saying there's something different about this bar. It goes from end to end. Well, where's the others go? They're the same length. They're not two bars going through each rings like you see in many of the pictures. They're one solid bar going through. So what are we talking about here? Notice in the drawing up here, I have four bars on the outside, but going through the center of all of the boards is a bar. That would give it complete stability, and I believe it is a type of the Holy Spirit of God that lives in the believer. The center bar went through all the boards on each side, and the middle bar in the midst of the boards shall reach from end to end. Okay? In the midst of the board shall reach from end to end. It seems to go through the center of the boards. Some say all five are on the outside. Others say there's four outside and one inside. If all the boards were the same length, then why would he emphasize that center board running from end to end? And the others, they say, went through the rings on the outside. You can decide for yourself. If you don't believe there's five on the outside, that's up to you. I think there's four on the outside and one goes through the center. Because he says that, talks about that goes through the midst of the boards. Okay? That's just my opinion. Numbers and types in the Bible mean stuff. They mean something. Number one, unity. Number three, it speaks of the Trinity. Number five speaks of grace. You have the metals. You have gold, that speaks of the deity, the silver, the righteousness, the brass is judgment, the colors. You have blue, the heavenly. You have white, the purity. All of these things have specific meaning. The types and the middle bar, I believe, is talking about the Holy Spirit because he is in every believer. from the beginning of your salvation till the end. He seals and indwells. He provides the security and surety for the believer and for those boards in the tabernacle. It shows the grace of God, that unmerited favor. He didn't have to do that. He could have just thrown it on the outside, I think. And then the golden rings outside holding the rest so that the boards do not move at all. This is just my personal opinion, so you can go with that however you want. I thought I'd already had that up there, but the numbers and types, the Holy Spirit, all the different things that we've covered there. You can have a different opinion on this, and we'll go out and eat ice cream together. It's just interesting how I think the verses speak of these things and put them together. The golden rings speak of God's everlasting covenant with his redeemed people. All the boards were held together to make one tabernacle. And so the individual Christians are held together by the Holy Spirit to form one complete church, one complete local church. A board by itself did not take the place of the entire tabernacle. No one rises or falls on himself. This church is not made up of a pastor. This church is made up of a pastor and members of that church. We're all in this together, and that common factor is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. So, one Christian separated from other Christians cannot take the place of the church. So when you say somebody's out here on the lake and they're going to church on the lake, they're blowing smoke. That's not true. Why? They're only one board. They don't make up the whole church. Neither did one board make up the whole tabernacle. You separate them and you got separate boards. You bring them together and unite them together and you have solidity. You have the church of the living God. Now there's, let's see, I still got some time here. There's 10 curtains in that first covering. As you look, as we go over the top of the tabernacle, there are coverings, several different coverings. Now there's 10, the first covering is 10 curtains of fine twine linen, clean, white, that speaks of the purity, the holiness, and the righteousness of Christ. It's that pattern of Jesus Christ. He was pure and holy, undefiled. The second points to the righteousness of the saints who are in Christ, that self-righteousness. Isaiah pictures self-righteousness as filthy rags. That's why the white, the purity, that holiness, okay? Then you have another color, it's blue. Blue speaks of heaven. It's the color of heaven. It speaks to us of the Lord Jesus Christ as the second Adam and the Lord from heaven. It's interesting the children of Israel were to have a blue ribbon attached to their garment. People always talk about, you know, you can't tell me how to dress. Really? You remember this guy that caused Moses a lot of trouble and God opened the ground and took him, swallowed him and his cohorts? You know that what that was all over? What the issue was? People say, well, he was trying to usurp authority. Well, he was, but the whole issue was about dress. God comes to Moses and he says, I want you to take a ribbon of blue and I want you to put it on the fringe of the garments of all of the people of Israel so that you can tell the difference between my people and the other people that was wearing those same type of garments. That's how it all started. God was telling them how to dress, and they didn't want that. They didn't like that. Who are you, Moses? Tell us how to dress. Wasn't me. God said it. Then he starts saying, hey, you think you're the only one. No, God told him what to say. And end up not going so well for him. And Moses come out shining. It all started over the issue of dress. And that's why it's such a hot topic all throughout Christianity. But go back and see what God says about all these things. It's really interesting. Now, in Numbers, chapter 15, he says, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. And I got to thinking, we purdy up that bride, and boy, she comes out just shining. But what about the bridegroom supposed to deck himself with ornaments? We should fix him up like a Christmas tree. Can you imagine going to your wedding with ornaments? It's interesting what God puts in his word here. We have purple. Purple is the color of royalty, the kingship. Jesus Christ is not only the second Adam, but he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Blending that blue and the scarlet produces purple. In Christ, there is that blending of the humanity and the deity in one person. He's both the Son of God and the Son of Man. This qualifies him to be the mediator before God. There is none other. That's why Mary or Joseph or any other saint that they call saints cannot be a mediator, because they do not have both qualities. They're only representing one half. They represent man. They cannot represent God because they're not deity. Only Jesus Christ. There is one God and one man between God and man, only one mediator, and that is Christ Jesus. He is the only one. Then it was in that same covering, you had scarlet. Blood. Blood is the color that speaks to us of the sacrifice and the humanity of Christ. All through the Old Testament, the Israelites were to find atonement based on that sacrifice, the blood sacrifice of animals. All the other offerings pointed to the coming Lamb of God. This is the one and only sacrifice, that blood sacrifice, is the only one that pointed to his blood, to his sacrifice. Only his blood has the power to atone for our sins. These four colors that were to be made into this 10 curtains are no accidental choice. He put them in there specifically because they spoke of certain things. The very order of these colors is the same way. The same order for the same colors is repeated 24 times in the book of Exodus. He never changes the order at all. These four colors are typical of the four gospels that are represented, that represent Jesus Christ, the true tabernacle. We see the white is the gospel of Luke, the Son of Man, that sinless man. We see the blue, the gospel of John, the Son of God, or the heavenly man. We see the purple, the gospel of Matthew, the Son of God, the royal man, the king. And then you see in the gospel of Mark, the scarlet, the Son of Man, the servant man. And then number six, he says to make it with cherubims. Cherubims of cunning work. These cherubims were supposed to be embroidered into the linen of cunning work. Now, the reason I say that, the cunning work, it was intricate work. This is hand sewn. This was like grandma and grandma or mom and grandma used to, they'd get in there and do their needlework and things like this. This is not something done on a machine or something that weaves it all in. This is hand-done stuff, these cherubim. They do not represent angels, nor do they speak of any human. The cherubim speaks to us of the workings of the Holy Spirit in the life of Christ, as well as the life of the believer. The fine linen speaks of the righteousness of Christ. The cherubim speaks of his majesty, his glory, and his power. His linen with the inwrought cherubim would then comprise the ceiling of the sanctuary. From the description of the mercy seat, these cherubims have wings. So in that, as you look up, you would see the cherubim and you'd see the wings of those cherubim. They would have stretched from above the sanctuary, and those priests, every time they would come in, they would see, as they looked up, they would see the holiness of God. They would see the power and the glory and the majesty of God and his purity every time they walked into that tabernacle. It was a beautiful type and a picture of us as new covenant believers ministering under the shadow of the Almighty God. When we serve God, we are not just serving just somebody or some church. We are serving a holy, pure, righteous God. Now, let's look at the second covering real quick. The second covering, you had first the white linen covering, but now you have that second covering. The white linen covering was 28 cubits, and that was 42 feet by 4 cubits, or 6 feet. So you've got 10 different coverings, or 10 different pieces of 60 feet, and that would make 42 by 60. It would go from one side of the tabernacle, running up over the top and down the other side, so that both sides have 18 inches. They have one cubit that is not covered, so that the righteousness, those sockets, could be seen. All right? It would run from the front to the back, simply covering that entire thing. The others are not the same. The second covering is the covering of goat's hair, covering the linen covering. The second covering here, there's 11 sheets, not 10. You had 10 sheets that were put together, but now you have 11. The goat's hair is associated with the death and sin. Now, I don't need to get into that today. Let's go ahead and go to the next one here. We see the outward appearance of Christ. This symbol is brought together in the tabernacle with the goat's hair. Everything of the tabernacle is a picture of Christ, or the work of Christ, or the character of God. The coarse outer hair was not used. When you think of goat's hair, you think of this, you know, a lot of hair and goats and everything. That was not used. It's not possible to spin a coarse outer hair. That soft inner layer of hair can be spun, often compared to the consistency of silk. When you'd shave a goat, you'd take off the long hair, and below that you have this fine hair. The miles of thread that was required were spun, no doubt, by hand. What they would do, we watched them in Africa when they're making drums, and they would get the skin over the top and then a piece over the bottom, and they would take this hair and they would run it up on their leg, and they would keep rolling it and rolling it and rolling it. They didn't have hair on their legs because it ripped it all off. But they would just keep rolling it and just making it longer and longer and keep adding, and that's how they make their rope in Africa. They still do it like this. And so all of the fine stuff, they would go ahead and spin this and make this into thread. John Gill, a great Christian author, gives us a good view of Christ in the curtains. He said, "These curtains of goat's hair denote the outward appearance of Christ in human nature, who attended with all human infirmities excepting sin, was in the form of a servant, in a great meanness and poverty, covered with reproach, and had in the greatest contempt, especially at the time of his suffering and death." All of that, he says, in the white linen, all through the all riches and glory within, full of grace and of all the blessings of grace and righteousness and life, of light, joy, peace, and comfort for his people. That's a whole mouthful, and it takes a while to kind of pull that out and sort through it. But when you look at that goat's hair, it's covering the purity. It shows that humanity of Christ. It shows the suffering. That's what that curtain was supposed, or that covering was supposed to show. The entire goat's hair curtain was larger than the linen curtain. This curtain would go from the back of the tabernacle all the way behind it, up over, and all the way then to the front, and there would be about a 3-foot valance at the front of the tabernacle. It would overlay, it would come over the front of the tabernacle. The white linen would only go from the front to the back. This would cover that front, go all the way over and down to the back. I don't think I've ever seen or thought of the existence of a goat hair curtain. I've just never been able to picture it in my mind. You can't make a covering of just goat's hair. Wool is made of sheep's hair, but goat's hair is coarse and stiff. And that's why Exodus 25:26, "And all the women whose heart stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair." It's not the long hair on the goats, it's that fine stuff that they would spin. It took special wisdom to spin goat's hair. A goat's hair curtain was used, no doubt, to cover and protect the fine linen curtain that was first placed over the tabernacle for that protection. So something more rigid and durable had to go over that. And that's why he said the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. As you see how God starts putting these layers, the purity, now the humanity, then next time we'll be out in California this next Sunday, so I won't be here, but we'll get into those third. And I want you to look up badger skin, see if you can find what it is. It will be interesting. And think of kosher. Think of kosher. And it'll be quite an interesting study for you if you can find it. All right? Let's pray. Father, Lord, I know there's a lot of detail here, but Lord, it's all important. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we get to this end, and we'll put it all together so that we can see how you have laid out your message to Israel, and to us in the church. Lord, bless us now and keep us safe. Lord, bless the pastor as he preaches the message this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, God bless you.